Once we started putting more effort, money, and energy into our own personal development, our business just was scaling faster and faster.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Twice a week, we will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, this is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from the Pyrenees Mountains in France. Today's guest is from Berlin, Germany, Marcus Murat in the house. Marcus, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Yeah, I'm ready and I'm pumped. Thanks for the invitation, Jude.
So excited to have you. For those of you that don't know Marcus, he is a kite surfer, digital nomad, podcaster, life hacker, and the founder of DNX, which is a global movement that connects and supports digital nomads with events and online services all over the world. I first came across Marcus and his partner, Fiwi. They host the number one networking event for nomads all over the world called the DNX Global Event last September in Portugal, and it was amazing. And when I got to know these two, how they lived their life, you know, they impact tens of thousands of people through their online community and their live events and all over the world in so many different languages. I knew we had to have them on our show, and, you know, so many shared values with the Unconventional Life community. So with that, Marcus, welcome to the show. Fill in any gaps I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Yeah, thanks again for the invitation, Jules. I'm happy to be on your podcast, and thank you for joining us last month. I just want to say last year at the DNX Global in Lisbon was really a blast. I think it was just one of the most amazing events we ever created. And yeah, thanks for being part of this event as a speaker on the main stage and also hosting a workshop.
Yeah. Well, thank you for inviting me. It was so exquisite. And I know you are both doing another event in Portugal coming up at the end of September as well. And it's just one of those events where I think there are so many things that really worked. Not only were we in Lisbon, which is such a great digital nomad hotspot, but how well you executed it. I know you even just executed like a 1200 person event just like a few weeks ago. And, there's just so much care.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, but like you can feel it from you too, and how, you know, your mindset and your attitude and how you approach your community, and it's contagious. And so it was an honor to be there, and I'm glad for our community to get to know you more. And for anyone that hasn't checked out DNX, I highly recommend it as well. So.
Yeah, so anybody who's interested in joining us for our next international English speaking event, just check our website on dnxfestival.com, and there you will see all the main event speakers, the workshops, the networking events we are facilitating and we are hosting and holding the space, as you already said. So we care a lot about our community, we care a lot about the tribe, we care a lot about new people to just connect it to our mindset, to our values. Because it's way more than just being location independent and working and living from anywhere. We have a very holistic approach, and what is very important for us is for sure to get into your own strengths. You have to like fulfill your own life and your own core values. Being a digital nomad is a good thing, but an even better thing is to give something back and to have a meaningful impact on the planet, and to have good relationships with, yeah, especially with yourself and then with your partners and your people surrounding yourself, living a healthy and a happy life. So I'm 100% vegan and we meditate a lot. And so it's very like conscious and very holistic, our approach.
Yeah. Totally. I know. I like watch your Instagram or follow the Facebook posts, and you just were at a meditation retreat, and you know, you are such, you practice what you preach, and it's really admirable to watch it and how you guys live your life and how you inspire your community. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, you growing up, you know, if we were a fly on the wall and we got to witness the Marcus, you know, in his younger years, like, would this be in the trajectory? Like, would you have imagined you would be here? What would we have seen, you know, back then, and how you've gotten to be the person you are today?
Wow. So that's a good question, because I was a completely different guy. So I was very, I would say now in the perspective I have now, I was very unconscious. I was living a very ordinary and conventional lifestyle. I was doing what people were, what people were expecting me to do, at least when I was at work and not out in at the weekends and doing lots of other stuff and doing lots of party and lots of also drugs and alcohol and being very unhappy, I think, in the matrix. And this brought me like in situations I don't want to be again. But only with this perspective and seeing this other side of life and being stuck there so deeply, I can even more now appreciate and see how far I've gone now and which life I'm living now in comparison to the life I've living there before. So as you said, I was really walking the talk and doing lots of works and lots of efforts and raising my consciousness, and now helping other people to come to the also to this level.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm curious, like, what the turning point was for you, like when it was, like, what was happening in your life at the time when maybe you kind of woke up or you realized, like, okay, like, I'm in this conventional system, I'm in the matrix, like, there's got to be more. Cause I think a lot of our listeners can resonate with that, you know, and some of them might even be in a 9-to-5 or still, you know, figuring out their own version of it. And what was that turning point for you and what was happening in your world at the time?
Yeah, I think there were many turning points, or it came more or less all together at a certain point. But one of the aha moments were that in the traditional way of life, I was getting more and more successful with like salary raises and longer job titles and more headcounts, more responsibility, and getting promoted on different jobs and different companies. But on the other side, as I went up these like conventional success ladder or career ladder, I was getting more and more unhappy because I had less and less time. I had more responsibility. There was more pressure on me. And I just felt miserable, especially in the winter time. And experiencing this gave me like the turning point for me to question myself and to question my life, if I want to go on with this kind of lifestyle, or if there's something more in life, like the bigger questions you start to ask yourself at a certain point. And this was when I was in Berlin and my career was accelerating and got more and more successful career-wise, but more and more unhappy and miserable personally. And this was like just before I decided to become self-employed and to work as a freelancer, to be just more fulfilled and do what I love. And then things came together. I quit my job. My girlfriend also quit her job. And she was already always very, like, she always had a very big perspective of life, and she was traveling all her life. And she knew that there's way more than just being stuck in a flat in Berlin and working for a startup and doing this 9-to-5 thing again and again. And so she was a very, very important driver for me to change my life and to be introduced in the beauty of the life all over the world, and to start traveling and to go on the road. And then things came together. I was trying to get my first clients from the road, because I committed to join my girlfriend to go on a sabbatical, and she was meant to go on a sabbatical and then get another job after that. I was meant to quit my job and become self-employed, but it was never meant that we will work from the road. But at least I was bringing my laptop with me to work on the pricing, on the website, on how to approach the first clients. And things came together. We got the first clients, or I got the first clients from the road. It came together that we started working together, and from there it just went on. That was very outstanding in these times, 2012. There were no Airbnbs all over the world. There were no tropical co-working spaces. So we were like one of the first movers, at least in Germany, in this lifestyle. And this is where it then took off because people got aware of us and they wanted to know more about the lifestyle. The media got aware of us and we started to organize the first meetups, which then turned into a conference. And now it's a festival, as you just said, like 4 weeks ago in Berlin was our biggest event ever with 1,200 people.
So on good. Yeah, so good. I love hearing that story. And I know like it really has been, you know, predominantly Germany and like a German influence. And I want to touch on that just for a minute, because I know you've also, you know, we're obviously doing this podcast in English. I know now you have a new podcast in English. You're actually the podcast host of the DNX, you know, in German. And so how has that been finding a community, you know, for those listeners that, you know, English may not be their first language and they want to bring this to their countries? Any advice you could give? Because I think the DNX, not even DNX, but the digital nomad movement, primarily there's just like an English movement in a lot of ways, at least in how I see it. Maybe you see it differently. And I think it's people are waking up all over the world and are hungry for it.
Yeah.
Wanting to encourage more people to impact the people that they know closely. And so how has it been for you doing that, you know, starting in German and in Germany and then now moving into the English market?
Yeah, for us it was like, it felt very naturally because, as you said, it's an international movement. It's an English-speaking movement. And whenever you're on the road, you connect to other people. And the first language you try to speak to someone is English. And then 80 or 90%, it works. So we were starting these events in Germany. But as we were traveling full-time already as digital nomads all over the world, we were thinking in English, dreaming in English, talking in English most of the time. So it felt very naturally for us, maybe at a certain point, expanding this event into the English speaking market, even though it afraid us a lot or scared us a lot, because it's a huge market and we are no native speakers and there's no one who was waiting for you. And I think the concept was internationally already better known than in Germany. But on the other hand, we got many inquiries from people who got aware of what we were doing, especially as we were taking over the Beta House, which is the first co-working space in Berlin for our workshops for a full day. And the Beta House was packed with international people who were just co-working in this space. And then they got aware what we were doing. They were seeing like the banners and the posters, and they were seeing something is going on there and the workshops. And they started to be curious and connect with our tribe and our people. So many of these Beta House people then afterwards wrote us emails and said, I would love to join, but unfortunately I can't understand German, but would you consider doing it in English maybe, or please? And additionally to this, also one of our partners and sponsors is the Beta House and also some other global brands who helped us in the German market, but who were also like Upwork, who were also already working internationally. And they said, guys, I really have to do it in English. This is a no-brainer. Yeah, so things came together. We were scared a lot, but somehow we just did it. We set up a website and waited if someone would be interested. We asked for the first speakers, and this was crazy because the speakers, they also have their own scene, and they were talking about our event because it was something new and it was, I think, something many people resonated with. Mm. So we got like speaker inquiries from Derek Sivers, who founded CDB Baby and is a very inspiring guy. And he pitched us, asking us if he can speak on the DNX event. For instance, Mark Manson or all these big players, they were coming to Berlin for the first ever DNX festival, which never happened before in this language. So this is really, really, really crazy. And we just enjoyed it and stayed in the flow from there.
Yeah, I love that. You know, and when I hear that, it's just such a testament of alignment. You know, when you are aligned with what you're creating and, you know, being timely with it and really creating it from that place, I find like alignment is the greatest fuel to any fire. And it just allows those ripples and the momentum to take place. And, you know, I know for you, as you have created more, you've gotten more into, you know, the meditation and the consciousness and the mindfulness and the intentionality. Mm-hmm. And so what has that ratio been like in terms of like business success and growing, and then you also personally growing? Have they been parallel, or was there a world in which you started to get more interested in the personal development stuff, or has that always been in the background for you?
No, it just came recently in my life, step by step. So as we started to be more successful as entrepreneurs, at a certain point you come to the conclusion that you can only grow as big as you, or you can only grow your business as big as you are as a person already grown.
Yes. So, such a good one.
It's a very good one, because once you realize this one, you know where you have to work on. And when we realized this, that this is true, we started to go to Tony Robbins, and we started to go to Dr. Joe Dispenza, to the seminars, and putting lots of effort and work in personal development and setting up strategies for routines, morning routines, evening routines, started meditating, went fully vegan, started living for the Ayurvedian, or learned more about the Ayurvedian lifestyle. And it all came together once we started being more conscious and putting more effort, money, and energy into our own personal development, that our business just outgrew and was scaling faster and faster. So it's one recommendation I can give to every person. Whatever step they are staying now, or whatever level they are at the moment, it's always worth to invest in yourself, because once you've grown to a certain part, this is where your business can go. And if you stay small and being like a small-minded, narrow-minded person, your business will never grow.
Yeah, completely. And in so many ways, it reminds me of just the essence of the unconventional life, where I think there's a certain plateau that you can get to when success is just in the domain of career or just in the domain of money. And then when you start adding, you know, career plus lifestyle plus, you know, personal happiness plus really amazing food plus quality of life, that's when the whole world starts to expand by proxy. And I love that you're highlighting it here, because I think conventional wisdom in so many ways is like, just focus on, you know, getting to that certain plateau, or even in entrepreneurship, just start the business and like, that's going to be everything. And then, you know, after you get there for a while, you're like, well, okay, I'm here. And you don't feel totally happy, and you don't feel totally fulfilled, and so many other areas of your life aren't working, and you're burned out, and you're not taking care of yourself. And so I love you mentioning that. And, you know, I'm curious, like, out of all the work that you've done, you know, to someone that is listening to this right now, that maybe is feeling, you know, a little burnt out, they feel like they've been grinding for a while, and it's just like, you know, certain things might be working, but other things aren't working. What advice could you give to them in terms of just how to maybe get through a rough time, or how to maybe step back and reflect so that they could then get to their next level?
The beautiful thing is that we're living in times where you can choose your mentor out of thousands of the greatest people on planet Earth, because they have all written books. Many of them have like free podcasts, free YouTube channels. They give online courses or seminars you can go. So thanks to the internet, every 7 years, the amount of knowledge we have is doubling. That's crazy. And so we live in a society where like information is free and is accessible. And whenever you're stuck or burned out or depressed, what's helping me is to connect myself with my mentors, with people who inspire me, and start to read books or start to read summaries. I even more love to read summaries with the app Blinkist. I can fully recommend, so I can read even more books in a shorter time. Or start to listen to podcasts from Tony Robbins or Tim Ferriss or Lewis Hose, or all these people then will bring me again in the mindset where after a certain point of just passively consuming the content, I want to start creating again. And this is one of the hacks I'm using whenever I feel like I'm burned out, or I don't have the motivation to hustle and hustle and hustle and hustle and go on instead of taking a break.
Yeah, I love that. I imagine there's probably a certain core set of things that you do in your day or that you do in your week that keep your wheel greased and keep you resourced and keep you moving. And you could call it like a morning routine, or maybe it's just your daily practices or weekly practices. I'm curious what some of those look like, Ian, for you to share with our listeners.
Yeah, that's a very good question. So yeah, I love having a scripted morning routine. I really love this morning routine because you don't have to overthink it, especially in the morning, which gives you like certain feeling of being in control of something, because when it's already scripted, you just have to execute it. You feel successful afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I always start my day perfectly with waking up just with the sunrise. Whenever the sun rises, I will be awake without any alarm anymore. It doesn't work always. It depends also how much stress I have or how much commitments, timelines, where we are and which part of this planet. But at the moment we are in Berlin and I just woke up this morning at 5. So you have really plenty of time to get things done. And what I will do after waking up is I will do oil pulling with coconut oil, which like cleanses your, takes out the toxins out of your mouth. And the Ayurvedian wisdom says that your tongue is like the extension of your digestion. So everything will come up in the morning. And then it's a very good thing to do oil pulling, also to get white teeth. And I would do my bed because it's a quick win. It's a no-brainer, and you start the day already with a win. Then I will do push-ups, 13 in a row, three sets of push-ups. I will do a gratitude routine with a gratitude journal. It's called the 5-minute journal. It's an app you can fill, which brings you in the right state of mind. And after filling my gratitude journal, I will do a 7-minute stretching routine with a 7-minute app. And after the 7-minute app, I would do a meditation. So sometimes I just meditate freely, or sometimes I will meditate with the Calm app. There's a daily meditation episode in it every morning. And at the end, you learn a little bit, a piece of wisdom for 1 or 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And this all happens without going into social media and being distracted and trying to do really like the most important task, the MIT or the Eat the Frog concept, as first thing in the morning. And in the perfect way, if you get accomplished all these things, you already like won the day at 9 or 10 a.m. in the morning, and whatever happens, you're already a winner.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so very German of you too, to have it all detailed and executed. And I love it.
I think so.
I do.
But it
does. It's true. You don't even think about it and you execute it and it's just like all there. It's dialed, you know, it's easy. And so I'm glad I asked that. And the Calm app, I haven't actually personally checked that out. So that's one that's on my note list to look up after to check it out, because I'm always looking for good apps, especially around meditation and wisdom in the morning. So.
Yeah. It's a very, very nice app. I love it.
Yeah, great. Well, last question for you before we transition into the rapid fire round, which is the last part of our segment, is, I know community has been at the forefront of everything, you know, since when you left the corporate job and were left the road with this crazy girlfriend who thought big and you was never supposed to be what it was. And here you are running this massive international community. And, I'm noticing that there's so many of us that are really wanting to be in community, whether they feel like a lone wolf, you know, and they're just in their own independent world, or they're wanting to create community, and there's whether it's small or whether it's massive. And I see your community feel so close, and so it's just grown so quickly. And so what would you say has been the secret to having such a strong community and to really nurturing your community, and ultimately give you the secret to how you've grown in such a short time period?
Yes. So first of all, I think we live in times where like we have a very strong connection to technology, So strong tech, it's accelerating more and more. But on the other hand, people are looking for community, people are looking for love, and it's one of the six human needs to be in a community, to be loved. And this is also why nowadays we have like the highest amount of festivals all over the world ever in these times, because people are looking for their tribes. And I think one of the success factors of being so committed with our own tribe, or being so aligned, or people feeling so close to us, is like being very honest and transparent and authentic, especially also with your weaknesses and your failures, and sharing every piece of information, or sharing your journey from, yeah, like us two just being in Berlin with this crazy idea, having this international movement on three different markets. We are also doing the event for the Spanish-speaking markets in Buenos Aires and in Barcelona. But always stayed like humble and stayed human, and never never went crazy in our heads. So we just try to stay in the flow and just don't question too many things, what is happening with us or around us. And yeah, always being brave, also bringing controversial topics in the focus. For instance, we were like deep diving into the plant medicine now, beginning of this year, and did some ceremonies like ayahuasca or San Pedro and peyote. And we were sharing it very openly on our podcast. And these were one of the most successful podcast episodes ever. And I'm very curious and very interested about it. I think this brought us where we are now.
Yeah, totally. I find every time that I'm willing to reveal more of what's happening for me or my own experiments, it's like an invitation. It gives people more permission to access that in themselves and ultimately create more
connection. Yeah, totally. And I also did some podcast episode calling them like Real Talk, where I was like really talking about everything about my life, and I've been in prison, and I've been like a really bad person and doing lots of crazy stuff. And it took me lots of courage to bring this out to the world. But on the other hand, people were celebrating this openness, weakness, which was also like an eye opener for us, not to be too polished and not try to hide something. And just be as you are. We are all humans, and everybody has like shadows, and without the shadows, you couldn't let your light shine so bright.
Yeah, so good. So well said. And now I'm like, should we have explored the prison stories another? That'll be like podcast number two. We'll have you back. And we'll go there. Awesome. Well, let's transition into the rapid fire round. This is the last portion of our show, series of five questions coming at you. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. I'm ready. Let's do it. Question number one, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
That's a good one. If you really knew me, you would know what I'm after.
Next question. What is one food that you absolutely hate eating?
It used to be olives, but now I can stand them. Now as I went like fully plant-based, I would never eat meat again, I would say now. But I ate it for 36 years, so I don't want to put myself in another position than someone else. I know where I'm coming from, but right now I would never eat meat again.
Next question. If you could turn back the time to your 18-year-old self and stare him in the eye and give him a piece of advice from something you know now, what would you say?
Stay humble and always be honest with other people.
Love that. Next question. What is one mantra that you feel like if everyone in the world could just internalize it, it would make everyone feel happier?
I recently came over the Four Agreements. Did you hear about them?
Yes, great book. I love that book.
Yeah, it's a great book. And one of the four agreements is to take not take anything personally. It's always like an inner perception of the person who is saying something to you. And if you just follow this one easy rule or mantra, your life really unfolds way, way easier. And yeah, it's way more beautiful to live then.
Yeah, I love that. Feels so applicable to my life. I just got out of a relationship of the last like year or so in the last month. Mm-hmm. And yeah, don't take it too personally. Feels really good to hear right now.
So. No, nothing others do is because of you. It's just, it's a projection of their own reality. It's their own dream. But yeah, you just shouldn't take it personally because yeah. It's not about you.
Yeah, such a good reminder. Last question. What does living the unconventional life mean to you?
For us, it's being free on every aspect of life. So we are emotionally free. We are location. We are location independent. We are self-employed. We can spend our time with whoever we want, on whatever we want, wherever we want, whenever we want. So this is the ultimate freedom. Our lifestyle as digital nomads and having different home bases. We have a home base in Brazil. We have another home base in Koh Phangan, Thailand. Thinking about the third home base in Austria for the summer. So this is for me like the ultimate freedom and also the unconventional lifestyle.
Yeah, I love it. For anyone that wants to learn more about DNX, learn more about the podcast, what you all are doing, even the event that's coming up, where should they go? How should they follow along and stay in the conversation?
If you want to learn more about me, just go to MarcusMoira.com. That's how you pronounce it in German, MarcusMoira.com. The festival is on dnxfestival.com. Our community, which is free for everyone, is on dnxcommunity.com. It's a Facebook group that is growing and growing. And the brand new podcast you can find, it's an English speaking podcast with a native host. So the one can speak better German than me, English than me. It's on dnxpodcast.com.
Yeah, so good. And Sylvia, who runs their podcast, who's the host,
yes,
is unbelievable. She's also been to our Unconventional Life Nicaragua events, and she's incredible. So for those tuning in, I highly recommend listening to it. And she is getting some incredible guests as well that she's had on the show. I've just been blown away watching her. So,
yeah. She's just awesome. We just love her. And we are so thankful and grateful that she's running the English speaking podcast now.
Yeah, this is amazing. So Marcus, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with our Unconventional Life family and tune in for us, all of our listeners. And Unconventional Life family, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll have more great content coming at you guys soon.
Yeah, see you soon, Jules. And thank you so much for the invitation. Love you.
Love you. Thanks.